Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Paul Tooley and Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Terry Warren, and those of you who recognize that name, it is the Terry Warren from the famous football history here from Florida, beginning in Florida.
That would be Florida State.
Florida State, yes, Florida State. Terry Warren, tell us, set the stage for your first getting into football and then leading up to your experience with the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, I grew up in Titusville, Florida, which is right where the Space Center is, right due east of Orlando. It was a great place to grow up. Grew up in a wonderful church, Park Avenue Baptist. Peter Lord was my pastor there, and just really grew up in a strong Christian family. I accepted Christ at 11 years old. Grew up singing in the church, had a great high school experience, just really did. And I was faced with choosing a college to play football at. I was all state in football and track, but I really wanted to focus on football. And I narrowed all my selections down. I pretty much was able to go anywhere in the country, but I really wanted to play for a Christian man. And my brother had actually been his first signed recruit at Florida State in 76. And I was a ball boy for Florida State in middle school, and just had an amazing experience and really got to know the Bowdens really well, and just an awesome man. And so it ended up coming down between Georgia and Florida State, and I picked Florida State because of Coach Bowden. Went to Florida State. Can't say it all started, perfectly, because about the third day I was there, the linebacker coach told me that he didn't think I would ever play down at linebacker for Florida State, that I wasn't strong enough, fast enough, good-looking enough. I don't know what it was, but it was very discouraging. He said, I think we could fatten you up, though, and put you on the offensive line. And you might get a little playing time. And so I'm like, no way, coach. I'm gonna stick with this, and I really think I can do this.
I have to ask you, what did you do? Did you start doing certain exercises, or what did you do?
Well, I committed to being great. That was my commitment to being great. And what I did was I came back every year. Coming into the fall of every season as one of the top conditioned athletes on the team. And I was the only one to ever do that consistently every year. So that really shed a big light in the coach's eyes as well. And I finally got some playing time as a freshman. I ended up starting 4 years for him and made All-American as my senior year. So I was able to really work really hard and dedicated to trying to be great. And I was blessed enough to get All-American honors my senior year, so it was really a great experience. And love Coach Bowden, still a great friend to this day. We actually did this big FCA banquet in Tennessee just recently where he spoke and I sang, so that was kind of cool, But I signed with the Cowboys after graduated Florida State, went out there, and warming up for practice, beginning of my rookie season, I broke my back. It's a total freak accident. Total freak. I don't even know how to explain it. And I did it to myself. I didn't even do it against another player. You know what I'm saying?
This is a phenomenal example of a commitment to greatness, and then to have your goal it stops.
Yeah, my life kind of came to a halt then, because my whole life had, and honestly, football kind of become my God, I was really struggling at that point. Because, I was very popular and I was doing really well, and I was really, at the top of my game. Boy, God just allowed my legs to be cut out from underneath me. Not only was it very difficult physically, but it was difficult emotionally too. But anyway, I
so you're wheeling around in a wheelchair.
I was,
now.
Yeah, I was, and I was engaged to a wonderful girl, Gabrielle Reese. She was modeling and doing beach volleyball. She was really becoming popular in her own right, and but she was very helpful during this time and supporting me, and I was able to get back surgery and get back on my feet, and it was a pretty successful surgery. I still can't really run and do everything I'd like to, but I thank God for, you know, the health that I do have. So, but when I was in my senior season, I sang the national anthem in full uniform before 80,000 fans, and a guy named Burt Reynolds and Lonnie Anderson and Ann Margaret were all there listening and watching, and I got a call 2 weeks later, and we were playing Auburn at Auburn, and picked up the phone and said, "Hey, this is Burt Reynolds." And I immediately hung the phone up, thinking one of my buddies was playing around with me, because I'm a real prankster and stuff. And I'm like, all right, they're getting me back right now. So anyway, luckily he called back and he said, if I ever wanted to get into the entertainment industry, he would love to help me in any way he could. And so when I got hurt with the Cowboys, I had something to kind of fall back on. And it was pretty exciting, because growing up as a little boy, I always wanted to be a singer and an actor. And it was always a passion of mine that I really never had much opportunity to explore because of football. I was football and football only. And so anyway, I ended up, he invited me to come down and spend a year in his acting school down in Jupiter, Florida. I lived on his ranch out there. I lived in a log cabin that was the gas station in Smokey and the Bandit 2. It, I was like, are you serious? You know, it was like my favorite movie in the world growing up, you know, and I'm living in this, you know, it was crazy. But ended up spending a year in that school, did some television movies while I was down there also. B.O. Strikers that he was doing at the time. I had tremendous opportunity to work with people like Eric LaSalle from ER. He was one of the doctors on there. Michael Chiklis, who was the big ball-headed guy in Fantastic Four. Actually got a great television series out right now also. Very popular actor. Neil Patrick Harris, when he was a little boy, right before he got Doogie Howser, M.D., you know, so it was a tremendous experience. And I was kind of living a fairy tale life at that point, you know. And but Bert ended up getting the TV show Evening Shade out in California. And he ended up moving out there. I ended up moving out with he and Lonnie. I actually lived with him for about 3 years, and ended up doing all the background music on Evening Shade. Anytime you heard a song, that was me singing it. And probably my most popular song was Lady in Red. And so that was amazing. And you know, he was trying to help promote my career and stuff. I was doing these late night talk shows. It used to be a talk show called Into the Night with Rick Dees. You remember Rick Dees? You know, top 40 countdown guy. Well, he used to be in the same spot like Jimmy Fallon is after Jay Leno's show. You know, Johnny Carson, and then Into the Night. So it was doing. I was doing some really, really neat stuff, and ended up doing some Columbos with Peter Falk. And golly, that was quite an experience. I mean, he shows up on the set. I mean, he gets out of the car like Columbo. You know, it was crazy. I'm just telling you, because I always love, you know, Columbos. Yeah. And to be able to actually, you know, be an actor on one of his shows. I actually did two of them, but it was awesome. And so, yeah, it was a great time.
So God has led you through all of these experiences. But now I sense, as I look at this CD track and these beautiful titles, that you are talking about God. Explain the leap from that entertainment world to this.
Well, it's quite a leap. I ended up getting married in, 1993, and moved to Nashville. It had a, let's say, a very, very rocky start to our marriage. I won't go into details. It'll be in the book coming out. And anyway, was married for 8 years, had two beautiful children, and ended up getting divorced in 2000. a great thing happened for me in the interim, though. In 1996, I was driving to work one day, and because as a full-time Christian artist, especially nowadays, you have to have a job too, especially with the economy the way it is. Holy cow. But driving to work, and they were saying they were interviewing, having auditions for a Broadway show in town at the Nashville Ballet, and I thought, well, this would be interesting. That would fulfill a dream if I could do something like that. And so anyway, I ended up going to this audition, and there were like 400 people in line, and I was in the back of it, and I'm in a suit and tie. Wow. And I'm like, I had to be at this appointment within an hour. You know, this guy was expecting me, and I had to make this sale, you know. So I literally and rudely skipped all the way to the front and went into the audition room. They'd already started, and interrupt and said, "Would you please allow me to sing for you? I cannot stay. I've got to go to this appointment." I said, "I've got a 4-octave range. Can I prove it to you real quick?" And they're like, "Well, don't believe you, number one," but said, okay. So they allowed me to sing real quick and invited me to the callback the next day. So this happened to be for the show Les Miserables.
Oh,
and so I went home. They gave me this sheet music to learn this song, and I don't read music. You know, so I go home and I buy the soundtrack, and I go home and I memorize it because God has blessed me with a great ear. And so I memorize the song, go back the next day. 9 months later, I landed the lead role of Jean Valjean on Broadway. So that was pretty awesome. Skip back to 2000. I end up getting divorced. It was a very nasty divorce, and it only got worse after that. 2002. I was ready to release an album, and come to find out my record producer and the owner of the label, an independent label down in Florida, was caught up in drugs. Didn't realize, you know, the whole time that we were meeting over the last 2 years with different record labels and Christian, you know, Life Ways of the World, and, you know, that he was actually, you know, had a drug habit going on. And so anyway, that happened, and then a really bad thing happened with my ex-wife and her new husband. The way I explain it, and all the details will be in a book I'm writing. The way I explain it is I had a complete attack of Satan on my life at that point. And I started dealing with something that I had never experienced and actually looked down on people for having in the past, and that was depression. I spiraled down into this depression where I had a hard time getting out of it, let's just say. And that went over about a 6-year period. I ended up attempting suicide several times, and luckily it didn't happen. You know, I was living a lie, the lie that Satan was painting in my mind, talking about, you know, "Terry, you're worth more dead than you are alive," because I had some big insurance policies on my children and on myself. Life insurance. And I thought, you know, my kids are better off without me because they could have money, you know. And that was a lie I lived for about 6 years. And anyway, one of my best friends, 2007, committed suicide. And he was the son of Mickey Andrews, who was my coach at Florida State. And I sang in his funeral. I remember standing up there singing, and this is the first time I'd sang in 6 years, too. I quit singing. My church had turned their back on me with all this stuff going on. It was a really, really dark time in my life. And I was singing during the funeral, and remember seeing his two boys sitting on the front row and saw the faces of my children there. And I realized at that point I had no option anymore but to live. And I was engaged to a girl, lost her to cancer during that time as well. I ended up rededicating my life in 2008. And when I did that, God not only restored me and all the depression I was dealing with and the suicidal thoughts and all that darkness that I was in, he restored all that, restored my relationship with my ex-wife and her husband at the time. And so many areas in my life. I mean, I tell you a beautiful story. I even had her second husband come to me. They ended up getting divorced. Come to me and said, asked for my forgiveness and said he accepted Christ in his life and realized that all the stuff that he had been involved in the attack of Satan on my life, that they were all lies. It ended up being the demise of the marriage. Mm-hmm. And but that restoration was amazing for me because, anyway, after rededicating my life, I thought I really wanted to try to get back into the ministry. I'd walked away. And so I put together a website, and I thought, you know what? And I knocked on a few doors in Nashville, and, you know, trying to get an opportunity to do something. And pretty much everybody said, you're too old and too fat. And so I lost a little weight, but still the same age. So I thought, you know what? I'm not going to even try to get into any more doors in Nashville. I put this website, started emailing them all over the world to different radio stations. And giving them a short version of my testimony and say, will you please give me an opportunity to play my album in your country? Did it all in the foreign languages of theirs. I found this website that translates everything online for free.
Yes.
And I sent over 600 emails out. Ended up a radio station, about a 3 million listening audience in the United Kingdom, said, hey, we would love to play your album, you know, on our station. So they started playing it, ended up picking it album of the week over in the United Kingdom.
Wow.
So they started this stuff in rotation, and I ended up, this guy that was the DJ that was doing all this for me, he was, you know, he was doing it all on his own, a guy named Brian Clough. And he ended up introducing me to kind of the ambassador to Christian music in England or the United Kingdom, a guy named Paul Davis, who was with Word Records for years, and he was kind of the Christian promoter over there. And we were introduced to one another. This is all online, you know, all through emails. I have no clue who these people are. Just this spark of God's grace just happened over in the United Kingdom. Well, they started putting my album in rotation, and I ended up, you know, having a number two song in over 30 countries over there. He broadcasts in over 30 countries. And so I ended up going to United Kingdom and touring over there. Did about a 900-mile radius of touring all around London. And anyway, I toured over there three times in 2009, ended up cutting this album, getting together because, you know, they're starting to get a buzz over here in America.
Yeah.
And met this guy named Joe Beck. Joe Beck just won a Grammy this year.
Yeah.
We put together this album. This list of songs that you mentioned are all stuff that God, You're Beautiful is one that I co-wrote with him. I remember Calvary is another one I wrote with a friend of mine. Because He Lives, I'm such a Gaither fan. It's one of my favorite mm-hmm. songs in the world. And I actually, that's one that my parents picked for me. I gave them several choices of songs that I wanted to get their feedback from, because I wanted to, you know, to dedicate a song to them on the album. Because He Lives is one they picked. And these other songs, a lot of praise and worship in here. I ended up recording Bring 'Em Home from Les Mis for the first time on an actual recording. And this album just really, I'm just so thankful for how it turned out and proud of it. God, You're Beautiful went number one in over 30 countries last January.
Fantastic.
And the Revelation, my version of the Revelation song, went number one back in last October in over 30 countries. And
so you are spreading the gospel.
I'm spreading the gospel all over the world.
All over the world.
All over the world.
Fantastic.
We're going to listen to a selection from Terry Warren's album. This is called I Remember Calvary from the album Amazing Love.
Lord, when I am weak, temptation is so strong. Jesus, You I'll seek, forgiveness for my wrong. Though I've fallen, bed for me. In prison you set me free, raised again to live in me. When I am not all I should be, I remember Calvary. When I feel unworthy, righteous family, I feel your love so strong. Looking back upon that tree, I see the blood that you shed for me. Remember all you've done, my life's begun. I remember Calvary.
It gives me the chills as I see how the Holy Spirit has used you. He's wooed you through the hard times. You've been protected. Your album is called Amazing Love.
Amazing Love.
And the distribution label is New Day Christian Distribution. The release date is spring of 2011.
It is. Uh-huh.
So that is fresh, hot off the...
off the press.
Yeah. And you have a website. Tell us...
It's TerryWarrenMinistries.com.
TerryWarrenMinistries.com.
You can buy CDs, DVDs. I've got an amazing DVD, 45-minute concert, live footage, me singing live in a very intimate setting, and get the album as well. Also, I have available the copy of my first album that sat on a shelf for 8 years that, you know, I'm getting rave reviews over as well,
yeah.
Called Lifted Up by Angels.
Lifted Up.
So love for you guys to visit the site and to hear from you and hope that you're blessed in some way by what I'm doing.
Terry, we are all so blessed. Thank you so much for taking this time.
My pleasure.
And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Thank you, you too.